Good evening, everyone. Please bear with me if my voice is a little crackly. Although not being in the condition Obed has been, I still have it's this time of year. Pollens are heavy, and particular cedar is driving people crazy. And always in the past, I've never had a problem with it. But each year I get older, it seems like I get a little more problem with it. And I found that at this point in time, Flonase and Zyrtec are my mainstays. I have to also tell Joel, I appreciate the fact that most of the songs that you picked this evening had low notes, or at least I was able to move them to low notes so that my voice could handle it. If you want to start opening your Bible to Romans, the first chapter, we're going to start reading the first three verses of that in just a minute. But as I give introductory comments, as you look there, I'd like us to think about the concept of obedience tonight. Obedience is a key part of Christianity. We need to think about it in the way, for example, Moses. If we look through what's called the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and in particular, we look through Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, we find that God gave Moses specific instructions of how he is supposed to build the tabernacle and specific instructions how Israel is to worship God. For example, God told Moses to build, to create some robes, and then the robes at the bottom, the fringe, was to be alternately a bell and a pomegranate. A bell and a pomegranate. What if Moses said, I don't like pomegranates, I want figs, so I'm going to do a bell and figs. Would Moses have obeyed God? We all know the answer to that is no. He would not have. He would not have been obedient to God. And what would God have done? Well, God would have told him that and would have corrected him in some way. Because he wanted Israel to worship him in a very specific way and to live a life that was in obedience and in harmony with God. And he gave them directions on how they were to live, how they were to obey him. And he told them to read, study, and learn that. In other words, their worship was to be done in a very specific way. Now that God that changes not, if we think that he did not give us directions on how we're to worship him, would be very naive. It would tell us that we had not spent much time reading our Bible. As Joel talked about this evening, and we've had others, Orion, the fact that we worship God and we observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, specifically because God directed us that way. Is there a commandment that says obey observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? No. But there's examples of the first century church doing that. And it's the only authorization we have. Joel led us in song. He didn't get up here and play the piano or play the organ or anything or play a guitar or any other instrument. He led us in song. Why? Because we're trying to obey God and observe exactly what God told us to do. And the only thing that God told us to do was to sing. We need to look at that. Let's read Romans chapter 1, the first five verses. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we receive grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his namesake, among whom you are also called of Jesus Christ. I read from the New American Standard, but the King James, the New King James, all give the same message. Paul's purpose of his apostleship, as it says, was to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles. His idea was to obey God And Paul was trying to teach the Gentile world how to obey God. In other words, God was instructing Paul to tell us exactly what we needed to do, how we were to worship God, how we were to obey God. One of our examples we find how the church worshiped was in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. We saw that they came together on the first day of the week. It doesn't say every first day of the week. It just says they came together on the first day of the week. Well, if they came together on the first day of the week, that would be every first day of the week. There'd be no exceptions. And what did they do while they're there? They prayed. They partake of the Lord's Supper. They had preaching. I'm certain from the other scriptures that we have that they sang. In other words, they worshiped God the way God wanted him to worship. In other words, as God talks about in John chapter 4, we find that those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, they need to obey God. We need to look at this idea here. We look at this verse here, and Paul reiterates the fact that of what Gentiles need to do in Romans, the last chapter. If we turn over to chapter 16 and start reading in verse 26, and just read 26, it says, "But now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience of faith." In other words, Christians, the Gentiles, that would also mean the Jews, worship God by obeying him, by serving him, by doing the things that are right and righteous in God's sight. It's interesting. In this, it says, "For the obedience of faith," in the New King James talks, or New American Standard talks about the obedience of faith, and in verse 5, and in chapter 16, verse 26, it says, "Leading to obedience of faith." That word "leading" is translated "leading to." That word that's translated "about the obedience of faith" is this word "eis." It's the Greek word "eis," and it means, it's literally translated, we look in Acts 2:38, it's translated "unto." It means to or towards. In particular, it means that it's in order to obtain. In other words, to obtain the salvation from God, if we look in these scriptures, how do we do it? We obtain that salvation from God by the obedience of faith. We have deep faith in God, and that deep faith in God will cause us to obey him. I always like it, find it interesting. I say like it, I don't like it, I should say. But I find it interesting when those from the denominational world, you ask them why they do certain things in their worship. "Oh, because it makes me feel so good." Okay, where does it say we're to feel good in our worship? It tells us about obedience, and that's what we need to do. We need to obey God. We need to obey him through a life of faith. There are those that were, usually you find this from those that are very hypocritical in their worship of God, that show up only once in a while to worship. "Well, God knows my heart. He knows I love them." Yeah, he knows your heart. He knows exactly how well you love him, because what does it say in John 14:15? "If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments." In other words, we'll obey God. And if we're not willing to obey God and be with the church on the first day of the week the way God has commanded, we're showing God, we're showing the world, we're showing everybody how much we love God. And that is the fact that we don't. They want to try to justify disobeying God, but saying, "God knows I love me." Well, their feelings are fine, but if their feelings don't carry them to obedience, the exact obedience, their feelings are falling far short of what God expects. Like we talked about Moses in the Old Testament, if he did not build that tabernacle exactly the way God said, in other words, he made the boards a little shorter, a little longer, he did other things than what God taught, would he have been obeying God? He painted him a different color. He made the robe out of a different color for Aaron. No, that would not have been obeying God. And God would have punished Moses for that, just as God punished Israel over and over when they did not obey God. We need to be careful and make sure that we're obeying God, that we're doing what's right and righteous. It tells us what the book of Romans is, what Paul's purpose about Paul's apostleship. The purpose was to obey God through a life of faith. This obedience of faith means that we are to obey God and do exactly what he wants us to do, not something else, not substitute what makes us feel good. I think about my parents, and I'd ask my mother from time to time, because for those of you who may not be aware, my parents were Baptists. Why do you use an organ in music? Well, it makes me feel so good. It thrills my heart so. Well, who cares whether it thrills your heart? I care whether you obey God, and God cares whether you obey him. They would not obey God in what they did, and God would condemn that type of worship. Will worship is not worship of God. Romans 10:17 tells us faith cometh from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to obey God. We need to look at what he's told us and do what he's told us. And do only what he's told us. We need to serve God. We need to serve God with the obedience of faith. In other words, we need to be truly obedient to God and to only what God has told us. Jesus lived and died on this earth. And Jesus never did or said anything except at the Father's command. Notice what turn over to John chapter 14. Let me move my Bible to there. John chapter 14. And we're going to read in John 14. John 12. We're going to read in verse 4. Start reading in verse 49. So John 12. And we'll go to verse 49. We'll read 49 and see what it says there. Because it talks about Jesus and how Jesus lived his life. It tells, with Christ speaking here, "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak." Was Christ out freelancing and telling us what he felt, what he happened to think at that moment? No, the scripture says Christ was very careful to follow the specific things that the Father wanted. He did only what the Father wanted. The Father had given him a commandment, and Christ spoke those things, only those things. Christ was obedient to the Father. He lived in heaven and came to this earth, willing to sacrifice all the glory of heaven to live in a human body and to be in Jerusalem in Israel back in the first century. Realize that back in the first century, they didn't have automobiles to drive. They rode on a horse or they walked. They rode on a donkey or mule or they walked. They didn't have houses with air conditioners like we have nowadays. And we seem to think that that's cruel and unusual punishment not to have an air conditioner in your house. Or in the winter, did they have heating, electric forced air heating with a thermostat? No. But did they have such a thing in heaven? Well, I don't know exactly what they have in heaven. But I can guarantee you heaven is much more luxurious than anything we can imagine in this world. And living in the Spirit as Christ did, what he came to earth for required tremendous sacrifice to just live that life, let alone go to that cross like he did. Jesus always kept God's commandments. He did specifically and exactly what God wanted. We're in John chapter 12. Turn over about three chapters to John 15. And notice what it says there. John 15 and verse 10. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Was Christ doing what the Father wanted? Was he freelancing at all? There was no freelancing. It was doing exactly what the Father wanted and only what the Father wanted. He was obeying the Father. And as he says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." How do we abide in God's love? By doing what we want? By only having the Lord's Supper once a quarter, or maybe once every 6 months? No, we abide in God's, in Christ's love by obeying him specifically how he's directed us, how he's given us examples, how we can follow him, how we can serve him. You notice, if we turn back into John, go back a chapter, John 14:31, notice what Christ was willing to do. He was willing to follow the Father and obey the Father and go to the cross and suffer tremendously physically on that cross, because that was what the Father wanted. It was done so that he gave his life up so that we may have forgiveness for our sins if we but obey him. Notice what John 14:31 says. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. And then it says, get up and let us go from here. Christ, when he lived in this world, was doing exactly only what the Father wanted. He is doing specifically what the Father was doing. He was obeying God and loving God. And it was through Jesus' obedience that we can become, we can be made righteous. Look over in Romans 15:19 here. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19 there. And it says, For as through the one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, referring back to Adam, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. In other words, through the obedience of Christ, many of us, those that will obey him, can be made righteous. Through the obedience, it says again, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Those that will not obey God completely, will not serve God, will not be made righteous. Hebrews 5:8 tells us that though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. In other words, through suffering, Christ also learned. He learned for us, but through that suffering, he offered a path for eternal salvation to each of us, to all of us that will obey God, that will serve God, that will love God. It's interesting to note through all this, although Christ was willing to obey God, Moses was willing to serve God, because we find and we everything we see and what he did was exactly what God wanted him to do. The nation of Israel, even though they had been told, even though they promised, we can see that promise as Moses gives his last lesson. We can see that promise in the book of Joshua. They promised, but they forgot often. They did not obey God. We look in the book of Judges, some of the saddest words I can find in the Bible is that each man did that which was right in their own eyes. In other words, they didn't do that which was right in God's eyes. They were not obeying God. They were obeying themselves. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 talks about, and we'll look at this. Notice what it says. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is mine honor? If I am a master, where is my fear? Saith Jehovah of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of Jehovah is contemptible. And when ye offer the blind for sacrifice, it is no evil. When ye offer the lame and sick, it is no evil. Present it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or will he accept thy person? Saith the Jehovah of hosts. In other words, if to earthly leaders we'll only offer the perfect, the good, the valid, if only under earthly leaders will, if unto them we'll be obedient, why should we not be obedient unto the master of the universe, the creator of everything, the creator of you, the creator of I? We need to obey God and love him as we should. The gospel was given to those that would obey him. In fact, as we've talked about in Romans, and looked at Romans, Paul talks about the fact that it was given for the obedience of faith. That was his purpose. That was what he was trying to teach each and every one of us, that we need to obey God. We need to have faith in God and obey him. Romans 16:26 tells us, as we've already read, but now is made manifest by scriptures of the apostles according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. In other words, Paul wrote this. Paul did what he did was for the obedience of our faith and for the obedience of faith of the nations. It was once a mystery, but now has been brought to light to each and every one of us that we need to obey and keep the commandments of God. Notice over in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14, verse 12. It tells us, here are the patience of saints. Here they are. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. In other words, there in heaven were those that kept God and obeyed his commandments, kept the faith of Jesus. In other words, keeping the faith of Jesus means that we obey God. We obey him and we serve him. We knew what we do. Unfortunately, on the Sunday night crowd, we tend not need to preach lessons like this. It's a Sunday morning crowd sometimes. Those, we can look around us and see all the empty spots in the pews. Those that are, would not be here tonight that were here this morning, and that's very unfortunate. But what we have to realize is that we must obey or suffer eternal consequences. It's up to each and every one of us to be obedient to God, to serve God, to love God. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 talks about some of this. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, those that won't obey God, obey his gospel, serve God, worship God in the way he is, Christ is going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those that will not obey him. In other words, those all around us that will not serve God, will not obey him in the way he should, God is going to come to earth and take vengeance on them, issue judgment. 1 Peter 4:17 tells us, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? In other words, those that are not willing to obey God and what everything he says, what's going to be the end of them? Well, that we already read in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, it says the end of them will be God, Christ coming to take vengeance upon them in flaming fire. In other words, they will be cast into hell and suffer there. It should help motivate us to want to convert those folks and help them to be obedient to God. Turn your Bibles over into Matthew chapter 7. We'll start reading verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7. Read through verse 23. We'll start in verse 21 and read through verse 23. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Well, how do we know whether we're doing God's will? He gave us his word. It is what we're doing in harmony with God's word in God's book. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In other words, those that are not obedient to God, are practicing lawlessness. If we're not willing to examine our lives, our hearts, our minds, and our actions in the cold light of God's word, I say cold light because if we're not obedient to God, it is a cold light because it will be found that we come short. We look over into Luke 6:46. It says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? It says, everyone that cometh unto me heareth my words and doeth them. I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who digged and went deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. In other words, the rock being Christ. We lay our foundation on that. and were obedient to God. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well builded. In other words, we are to obey God and do exactly what God said. We can't be like a Moses that did not obey God. In other words, one that thought the bells on the hem of the garment was too noisy, so he put pomegranates and fig clusters to quiet it down. In other words, that would not be obeying God. When we don't serve God, when we don't do all the things that God commanded, we're not obeying God. And what we have to realize is salvation is available for each and every one of us that is willing to obey God and serve him. Hebrews 5:9 tells us, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Oh, it doesn't end there, does it? It says, unto all them that obey him. In other words, are willing to do exactly what he said. If you tell your child to mow the grass, they go out and start the lawnmower, run it back and forth about 3 times, and quit. Say, I mowed some grass. Are you going to be happy with that? No. You want all the grass mowed, which is what you were asking for. That wouldn't be obeying their parent, their child. And we, as Christians, when we will not do what God wants us to do, we're not obeying him. We know that we can know him through obedience. 1 John 2:3. The book of 1 John is a wonderful book in this regard. 1 John 2:3 says, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. In other words, are we doing exactly what God said? Are we teaching others the way God wanted us to do? Are we trying to make sure everything we do in religion we can defend by the Bible? In other words, we don't do anything here at Southeast or anywhere unless we can obey God. We've already quoted the scripture, but once again, John 14:15 tells me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. In other words, Christ's example for us and the world is the example that we are to follow. Christ's whole goal in life when he was here was to teach people about how to obey God so that they would obey God and go to heaven and not go to hell. We need to make sure that we're doing this. Again, as we read in John 15:12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. Notice what it continues in. It says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. So this tells us how we can identify ourselves, how we can identify individuals that love God, that truly love God, that truly love Jesus, is if we're doing what God commands us. We need to restore the tree of life, and God will restore the tree of life at some point in time. Notice in Revelation 22:14 what it tells us. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates unto the city. In other words, the only way to be able to enter into the gates of the city, to heaven, to have access to the tree of life, is through obedience to God, by keeping his commandments, by obeying him in all that he set forth. If we love God, we'll obey him. John 5:1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In other words, we show God, we show the world, we show our love for God by obeying him, by keeping his commandments, by doing those things that are righteous. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is, and this is a chapter here that talks about love. But notice what it says, love is. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. As we read the Bible, we understand the fact in Revelation chapter 2 that God talks to those Christians and said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. In other words, our faithfulness has to be like our love. It needs to never fail. One of the harder things that we find in life becomes as we live longer and longer is staying faithful to God, because the challenges and temptations become very severe at times. And we need to make sure that we're holding our faith in God and obeying Him in all that we do. We need to make sure our love for God never fails. To conclude this lesson, I'm a little short tonight, but that's all right time-wise. Hopefully we're thinking about what we need to do. For the beings of faith, we need to realize that Jesus came to this earth. He lived and He died. He lived and died and lived His life in complete harmony with what God wanted. He lived His life in obedience to God. And He did that so that we would have the example and know what we should do, so we can live our lives in harmony with God. The gospel is given. He gave the gospel. And He finally went to that cross so that His sacrifice could be used for our atonement of sins. Salvation is available to each and every one of us. We need to understand here that if you're a Christian and have fallen away, you've not been obedient to God, you can begin your obedience today, because one of the things, you'll not ever taste of that tree of life unless you follow God, unless you do exactly what He wants. You rekindle your life. You rekindle your love. You make sure that you're striving each day to be fully obedient to God, to serve Him. If you're not a Christian this evening, we need to understand that you need to obey the gospel. You're not going to get to heaven unless you've served God, obeyed Him, and loved Him. If you fail to obey, the judgment is there, and the judgment will wait. What do we need to do? Well, we need to look at the scriptures. There's not one scripture that tells us exactly what we need to do. There are many folks that want to quote John 3:16, says, see, you just need to believe. And even the most astute of those, if you ask them, well, does that mean I can go to heaven without confessing Christ? Oh, no. They recognize that. Can I go to heaven without repenting of my sins? Oh, no. But then they don't want to obey Christ, what He taught at the end of the books of Mark and the end of the books of Matthew, the fact that they need to be baptized for the obedience of sin. They need to serve God and obey Him and all what they need to do. That becomes the fact that we need to believe. We need to hear the gospel. We need to believe the gospel. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess Jesus Christ. And we need to be baptized for the remission of our sins. This is what the gospel teaches. We're about to stand and sing a song. The song leader, Joel, has picked for us this evening. I hope everybody will think about that. To make sure that we're living our lives in harmony with God's will, that we're serving God, that we're obeying God, that we're showing God our love for Him, not because we want to do something, but because we want to be obedient to God. We want to serve God, and the only way we can serve and love God is by completely and fully obeying Him. Thank you.